Paul Pachter, CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Food Bank, and welcome again to another episode of Breaking Bread, our YouTube show that brings you inside the workings of the regional food bank, but also an opportunity for us to introduce you to decision makers in the Long Island community that are really making a difference for so many of the people that we serve. I'm also very excited to announce that Breaking Bread is now sponsored by Cardworks, your financial services program in Woodbury, right here in Long Island. So we're very grateful to Cardworks for all their support of Breaking Bread. My guest today, Marcel Lys, a great friend of mine, someone who I admire tremendously and have great respect. She is the Director of Veterans Services at the Association for Mental Health and Wellness. Marcel, it's a pleasure to see you.
Paul, it's always a pleasure to be in your presence and your company. I appreciate it.
We're just starting the show off great now. Yeah.
Appreciate the opportunity to discuss some of the things that we're seeing here in Long Island and in the community and how we can address some of the issues in the veteran population, especially during the last 2.5 years of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We've seen so many changes in the delivery of services, so I'm happy to be here with you today.
Well, you have always been, for us at Long Island Cares, one of the experts that we rely on in terms of our own veteran service programs. And, you know, I'm always shocked to look at the data that we have at Long Island Cares and realize that there are over 1,800 veterans, and that's an unduplicated number, 1,800 veterans who are known to us, who are coming to us for emergency food assistance, that are coming to us for mobile outreach services and home delivery of groceries and care coordination services and job placement through Vets Work. But tell me about veteran services at the Association for Mental Health and Wellness. What are you guys doing? What are you up to?
So the Association for Mental Health and Wellness, under the Dwyer Project, we have, it's the Veterans Peer Support Program that's one of the first in the state of New York in 2013. We're actually gonna be in our 10-year anniversary coming up. We were the first of 4 counties that received the funding to support veterans through peer services. Mm-hmm. And we've expanded now in the state of New York to all 62 counties.
That's wonderful.
So, it's an evidence-based practice that we use with veterans that are helping veterans that have a lived experience. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Just because you serve doesn't necessarily mean that you have the workforce competencies to engage a veteran at risk. We do unfortunately see many of our veterans coming through our program that are seeking help because of their post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. although you do not have to have a diagnosis to get services through us. In fact, you don't even have to have a DD-214, which mm-hmm. is the record of service that most veterans need to have to access services through the VA. We are not-for-profit, we are free of charge for services, and we offer a whole menu of programs to include peer support one-on-one engagements. That's where the veteran might just need to have a one-on-one with somebody because they are looking for a resource. Mm-hmm. We have group activities throughout Suffolk County that are able to provide a social support of community. We bring in resource providers to talk to them about benefits. In fact, recently we just had a group with one of our senior population groups that were not aware of veteran benefits. And mm-hmm. so we'll bring in a veteran expert through Suffolk County Veteran Service Agency, which is one of our community partners, to discuss what their compensation and benefits might be there, especially with the senior population, because so many of them are on a fixed income now, mm-hmm. they have mobility issues, they might be isolated from from family, or they might just not have that network of people. Mm-hmm. Again, through the pandemic, everybody stayed away from each other, so mm-hmm. they really lost that connection to community and family. So that's a part of what we do.
How many veterans participate in the Dwyer Project and in the other programs that you provide?
So on average, our annual report shows about 4,500 veterans mm-hmm. and family members. And family member does not have to be blood. It can mm-hmm. be any loved one. Anybody that constitutes their support system mm-hmm. can be served through Dwyer Project. And that number has increased exponentially through the pandemic, where we saw the groups take a drop because we couldn't be in person. Mm-hmm. We started up the Zoom groups. They didn't really connect in the very beginning, right. but they grew from there, and now we have a hybrid version. We have in-person and we have the technology to connect with them. But the one-on-ones really increased in 2020 and 2021 mm-hmm. because people were looking for something because the programs were closed throughout Long Island and throughout the country. So we do see an increase in that. We also do a lot of social engagements. We have a lot of community activities, such as here at the community center, mm-hmm. that we connect with other resources. And those are wonderful opportunities because not only do we get to connect with veterans that come, but we get to know other resources because we're just one program that has a menu of options that we have to really tailor to that specific veteran's needs, the family's needs. Mm-hmm. And so that's the Dwyer Project has really shown nationally, hopefully will come national soon, that peer support saves lives. It saves families, it saves relationships, and it gets people back to where they mm-hmm. need to be. Veterans as a whole, our culture, I'm a service member, mm-hmm. veteran myself, I served in the Air Force for 24 years. So I know what it means to be in the uniform and be with people that have your back. And it's right. not just a term that we use. It's literally, you have their back. It could be in a life and death situation. So when you come out of service, you lose that cohesiveness because you feel like you're so separated from the people that you serve with. You lose your identity, as a matter of fact. Veterans wear our identity. We wear it on our uniforms every day. So you really do feel that you're serving the mission with your team. So you come out of that right now and then you have to re-identify who you are. Mm-hmm. And people struggle with that. I struggled with it, my identity. Luckily, I found the Dwyer Project, or it found me, and the community came together, and now I have a new sense of purpose by serving those that are less fortunate or those that are struggling sure. to find where they want to be in our community.
Oh, that's absolutely incredible. And what you say is true, because we've seen it with some of our programs that serve veterans. They are rather guarded and don't want to share a lot with other people who are not veterans, and therefore all of our satellite locations on Tuesday only serve veterans, military personnel, and their families. But there's something so valuable in peer-to-peer support. You know, it's one thing to go to see a social worker or a veterans counselor or someone with the degrees and all the credentials on their wall. It's another thing to turn to, you know, a brother or sister veteran and have them help you because they've been through what, you know, they're going through. What would you say the greatest need is, or the top two or three needs are amongst veterans who are coming to your organization and to your program?
I would say here on Long Island, the veterans mm-hmm. that we serve, housing. Affordable housing is a huge deficit that we have in our community. In fact, we can also share that our Association for Mental Health and Wellness, through Suffolk County United Veterans, has 10 permanent housing projects going on right now.
Wonderful.
We have actually three that were just recently through the Housing Our Heroes program,
mm-hmm.
and we're housing veterans that have been on the streets. We pick them up through the shelters, through the VA. We get a lot of referrals through our VA partners. And we don't just house them first. It's sustainable housing, but it's also supportive housing.
Right.
We have case managers assigned. They're the ones actually during the pandemic that were coming to your locations here mm-hmm. in the satellites to pick up food and deliver it to right. our veterans that were in their housing. They couldn't leave. They were not able to because many of them have significant health issues
mm-hmm.
and it was a danger for them to come into the community. So our partnership with you through the association and Long Island Cares, we were able to continue to serve them in the capacity that they deserve, that they've earned it because they've served our military.
And how many, you said there are 10 beds, 10 units?
10 houses.
Ten houses.
10 houses. Right now our census is at 39. We have 39 veterans. One veteran who has three dependent children that we house in Riverhead. We were able to get her into the Housing Our Heroes house mm-hmm. as soon as it opened. They're all state of the art. They have full services available. And this individual that served the Navy and is in our housing right now has shared with our case manager that her kids are thriving. They're in school, they're doing well, and it's the first time in their lives that they've had sustainable housing. And it's safe, and that's mm-hmm. really important that we're doing that work.
And you're keeping the families together.
Yes.
And that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to housing, I'm imagining that there's a need for mental health support services as well, if you look at PTSD or some of the other issues.
Yes.
I know many veterans struggle with health problems in general. So how does, you know, how do those services show itself within your program?
Right. So again, you don't have to have a diagnosis of PTSD to access services. Many people in our veteran community are not willing to accept a diagnosis or even let us know that they have had a traumatic experience. So we work with them to get them to feel safe again in a trusting space, so that eventually we can get them to maybe seek some sort of counseling, whether it's the VA or community-based services. Many of them don't want to go up to the VA. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's only a third of veterans that really do access VA services in our communities. And so where are they going? Where are they going? And so we've built these partnerships with community-based services so that they can get the mental health treatment, you know, some sort of counseling through a social worker. Mm-hmm. And that eventually kind of gets them into that space where now we can talk to them about employment and get them, because many of the veterans that we serve, they can't keep employment because of the PTSD, because of the fact that they're unable to keep a calendar or remember a date, or they don't have transportation. That's another big issue here on Long Island, is transportation is very challenging to get them to their employment, to get them to their medical and their mental health appointments. So we work with them and we build those community partnerships. Recently acquired a donation of Uber cards. So we could get that. We have to think outside the box.
Absolutely.
And how do we get them to their appointments? Mm-hmm. So now they get a $25 Uber card and they can get to the VA, or they can get to one of the community-based centers in Patchogue or out in Riverhead. Mm-hmm. You know, Suffolk County is so huge and so vast.
Absolutely. Yeah, and absolutely. Whenever I talk about veteran services with any of my colleagues, it always seems to revert back to the VA and the hesitancy on the part of veterans to accept services from the Veterans Administration. From your vantage point, why is that? Why do you think there's a hesitancy to deal with the VA?
I think what we're seeing is that there's a hesitancy based on your generation of service. So take Vietnam veterans, for instance. Right. When they came back, it was a horrible time in our history. They were not received well at all, and they hid their identities. Mm-hmm. They shed the uniforms, and they didn't admit or go for care at the VA. They walked away from that, and a lot of them struggled. And then now, post 9/11, we've had the longest sustained conflict that we've had in our history, and we have many of these veterans coming back that don't have the trust of the government. That's been our experience. Many do, and they should, but many of them struggle with that, so they don't access VA services, or it's not convenient, it's too far for them, or to get an appointment, it can take 30, 60 days. I know the VA has been working on programs to help alleviate that backlog, but it's still there, and so it's very difficult for them to go there. Or I know many service members that are still in the Guard or Reserve that don't seek treatment because they don't want to be seen there. They don't want somebody to think that they have a behavioral health issue, and that's a challenge because that stigma is always going to exist.
It's very, very complex, and I wish we had a whole nother, you know, hour to sit and talk about this. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I definitely will have Marcel come back on this show sometime in the near future so we can continue this conversation. But the important thing that I have to leave you with is that there are too many veterans here on Long Island that are struggling. They need housing, they need treatment, they need support services, they need work, and only by creating collaborative relationships with organizations like the Association for Mental Health and Wellness and their Dwyer Project and Long Island Cares Vets Work Program and the other wonderful organizations that are out there do we even have a chance to improve the quality of life for people who spend so much time on the front lines and now, with regard to Long Island Cares, are spending, you know, time on pantry lines. It's unacceptable. Marcel, thank you so much for joining us. I really do mean it. I look forward to having you come back. I want to thank CardWorks for their generous support of Breaking Bread. Until next time, this is Paul Pachter, CEO of Long Island Cares. If you like what you're seeing, please subscribe to our channel right here on YouTube. We'll see you next time.